a number of the sources refer to a story of Rabbi Akiva and the Mekoshish Eitzim. This is a medrash that's frequently quoted, though we don't actually have the medrash, but a number of Rishonim do cite it, including the Or Zeruah. And the story goes as follows. Did you see the story? I'll tell you the story. You saw it. So briefly, the story is that Rabbi Akiva once sees this person, and he was Aram v'Shachor, and he was carrying this heavy load of wood, and he was running at the speed of a horse, and Rabbi Akiva stopped him, and he says to this fellow, what in the world are you doing? Let me help you. And the guy says, don't hold me up, because if I don't, get back really quickly, they're going to get really angry at me. And Rabbi Akiva says, what do they want from you? And he explained to him that he's actually dead. And he has this responsibility that each day they send me back to this world to gather wood, and then they burn me in this wood. And Rabbi Akiva says, what is it that you did in this world to deserve this punishment? So he tells him, I was a tax collector, and I was nose panim lashirim v'horeganim. And Rabbi Akiva said, did you hear anything from those who are in charge of you? Is there any hope for you? And the guy said, again, don't hold me back. I'm going to get into big trouble. So then he told him, but I heard something that's impossible. What did I hear? That if this person, meaning me, has a son that would stand before the kahal and say, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMevorach, and they would say back, Baruch Hashem Baruch Le'olam Va'ed, and they would say, I would say Yiskadel, and they would say Yehishmei Rabbah, so then they would end this decree upon me. But it's impossible, because I don't have a son, and I once had a wife, but I left her, I abandoned her when she was pregnant. I don't know if she gave birth to a son or gave birth to a daughter, and even if she did give birth, I don't know who the child is and where he is and the like. So Rabbi Akiva said, I'm going to save you. So he went and he looked all over the place to see if he could find the son. And eventually he finds him, and he taught him the Aleph Beis, and he taught him everything until finally, again, I'm skipping many of the fascinating details, but he could finally stand before the Amud, and he said Baruch Hu, he taught him how to read, and he taught him how to lead the services, and he said Kaddish, and as soon as that happened, they let this guy off. And he came to Rabbi Akiva in a dream, and he said, Hiratzon l'fanecha shetanuach daitecha b'gan Eden shetzalta usi medina shel gehenim. And Rabbi Akiva immediately responded, Yehi shemcha Hashem li'olam Hashem zechecha l'dor v'dor. Wow, what a story. So, this is the basis for Avelim saying Kaddish, or davening for the Amud, or the like. We don't have it in the classical sources, but this medrash is quoted. And as we know, it's something that's treated very seriously. Some have the minhag, as you saw, to do this for 12 months. The more common practice is that Kaddish is only recited for 11 months because we don't want to, the child doesn't want to implicate his parents and imply that he got the worst possible din. Stops after 11 months, though many, and this is, as you saw in the poskim, the discussion, many continue davening for the Amud for 12 months because that too is a zechus, and in fact, the poskim say that's really the bigger zechus. Kaddish was only instituted for the people that don't know how to say anything else, or for the ketanim, the yesomim ketanim that can't be the shaliach tzibur, so they would say kaddish, they would say maftir, because those are the things that the children could do. Really, the ikar is leading. Now, what's the idea? So there's a lot to say, but the idea is that what's so great about leading the tzibur and getting them to say Yishma Rabba, because you're being Mekadeshem Shemayim V'Rabim. The Ramban famously says that's the ikar of our tachlis in the world. That's the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. And that being the case, so when the Avel does that, I saw once from a Hasidic sefer that the idea is that the said that when a king has a great army, so you lose one soldier, Mishkeferloch, will be replaced by somebody else. But every single person in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army is important. When one person is missing, so Hashem's presence in the world, in a certain sense, is diminished. And therefore, the Avel is Mekadeh Shem Shamayim to, as it were, replace and note that. We'll talk a little bit about the end. How is it that that the Amaisa of a child can somehow be a Toelis for the Neshama of the parent? But that is what this farm say. So,
is there, do you say Kaddish for Russia?
So, it's a good rye from this Makor that you can. They do discuss it, but if you look at the story of Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like Pashuk Shad is that you can.
But there's no Chalasha.
Even if there's... Interesting idea. What you're saying is that that Chassidish Hasber doesn't work well with this. It's an interesting Ha'ira. Maybe Rabbi Akiva understood that there was something special about this guy also. Like, why did Rabbi Akiva, you know, dedicate himself so much to saving this fellow? I don't know. It's a lot of interesting questions to think about. Anyhow, as you went through the siman, you saw that there are a huge number of halachos about the dinei kedima, who goes first and who goes second, and what about if there's shloshim and there's shiva and there's a guest and there's someone from out of town and in town, and how do you divide it up, and the like, and yard sites, and very, very complicated halachos. The Shechter, whenever discussing this, quotes from the Shagas Aryeh that the once asked the Shagas Aryeh, what should we do? I don't know what the question was. There was someone with a yard site and someone in Shloshim or whatever it was exactly. And the Shagas Aryeh says to him that you should go make a Gorel. So somebody asked the Shagas Aryeh, one second, you know, it's Mevur and Shulchan Aruch, what to do? There's the Seder Kadima, the Magen Avraham, and the like. Why are you telling us to make a Gorel? So the Shagas Aryeh said back, you know, the Magen Avraham made a Gorel, and you're making a Gorel. Meaning to say that none of these halachos, all the complex particulars about who goes first and who goes second and the like, none of them have a makor in Shas. So the poskim, some of the poskim, kein goral, they try to figure out, you know, what makes the most sense in terms of the listing of priorities and the like. But these aren't really, these aren't dinim and Shas. Now, I think we'll talk about how we do in terms of what basis were there, if there is, for what we do. But the truth is we avoid most of these questions. Why? Because the minhag is, again, we'll talk about it for better or for worse, that all aveilim say Kaddish. And that being the case, so you could only imagine, you know, sometimes you're in a big show, there are 12 people saying Kaddish, right? How complex it would be if we started following what's the strict halach. And warriors, they still do this. They follow the Dine Kedima, but in 99% of shows they didn't. You could only imagine how much trouble it would cause. You know, in Motzei Shabbos, and there's two people for a yard site, people go crazy trying to figure out who should go and who should be first and break off minyan and the like. So a kal v'chomer like this, and even though I think that practice is highly questionable from a halachic perspective, we'll talk about the, you know, whether or not it's okay. But I think it really comes from the fact that otherwise there would be a tremendous amount of machlokas. The the Chassam Sofer, though, it's quoted by the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat Zion, quotes the Shav Yaakov, that people sometimes think, ah, I'm going to chop it. I'm going to, like, get this Kaddish for my... because it's very important for them. You know, you see here in the shul, you know, people that don't show up for shul the whole year probably, and then when it's your yard site, they come and they sponsor a big breakfast and they like it. So people think like, oh, I'm gonna, like, whatever it is, I'm gonna make sure to say Kaddish for my relative and I'm gonna get the thing. So the Shav Yaakov says that, that if you go ahead and you steal a Kaddish or davening for the Amud that you're not entitled to, somebody else should really get it. So it doesn't work for your relative, it works for their relative. Whoever's entitled to it gets it. So don't think that, that you're going to get to it. And it's, you know, I remember one from when Rav Shechter was in Avel, you see how much Gadol HaShalom is in his Anav in this case. When Rav Shechter was in Avel, again, we'll talk about it later, Rav Shechter will not say Kaddish if somebody else is saying Kaddish. He thinks it's inappropriate. He follows, again, the classical halacha. So first of all, whenever there was someone there, even though this was Rav Shechter's base medrash, he, like, davened here every day, and there was, like, some random stranger who happened to show up, Rav Shechter would always figure it out and make sure they davened for the Amud, even though it was his chus, for sure. And then, anybody who would say Kaddish, he wouldn't say Kaddish. So if there's, like, another Avel in the base medrash, he would give them all the Kaddishim, because he would never say Kaddish with another person.
He would stop.
If he started his Kaddish, and he heard somebody else in the back is saying it, he would be quiet.
Why'd he let the other guy instead of working out with the schedule?
Because he's a nanav. And I think that, you know, for people who have nothing else, so then this is very important to them in a sort of a disproportionate way. Anyway. Yes.
Isn't it also being mofel to your father's, for your father, and it's not yours?
So it is, you're correct. It is an inyan of kibud av va'im. That's the pashto. The Gemara doesn't give an example. The Gemara says there's one aspect of kibud av va'im la'achar misa is saying for the father within 12 months, saying harini kaparas mishkavo, and after 12 months, saying zechon avracho chayel ma'ba, first parak of Kiddushin. Agav, it's an interesting ha'ara that the Taz raises. He says, the Taz raises in Simon Shin Mem, not here. He says, what's going on? Why do we say Kaddish for 11 months, but we say, it's meforshim in the Gemara that you say Harini Kaparas Mishkavo for 12 months? So he says an answer. He says, because over there, you'd be stuck. Because you can't not say anything, Al Tzkibud Aveim. You can't say Zechon Avach Chaim Abab because he's not yet an Olam Haba, probably, or maybe. So you have no choice but to say Reini Kaparas Mishkavo for 12 months. Here, Sheva Al Tase Adif. So you see, others give different answers, but the Taz held that was Mamish the Din. You have to use those phraseology. Sach, again, seems to disagree with that. But anyway, so you're right, Adam, that this is a Kiyam of Kibud Aveim. And the like, but at the same time, there's Gadol HaShalom. So you have to find the right balance. And Rav Shechter made a cheshbon how to do it. I think he felt that he should give everybody other kaddishim because the minhag in the base medrash is that every avol says kaddish. And even though he thinks that's wrong, for whatever reason, he doesn't feel that it's appropriate to impose that on the tzibur. So therefore, it's not right for him to tell another Avel not to say Kaddish, because the Avel is entitled to it, because the minhag of the base medrash is that all Avelim say Kaddish. Yes?
Are there no
makoros
that say specifically, it's better to not generate some sort of makoros in the name of your parent than try to, get the Kaddish instead of coming up with a hot all go to the other relative, the other person's relative, isn't it?
That's what they say. I don't know all the makaros. Yes.
Is it not helpful? Meaning, once this one person says Kaddish, doesn't it also help the mason here? Mason, meaning, isn't that the reason why they do one person say Kaddish? Because it really goes to everyone. I think, but like the only reason why we do everyone now together is because
no,
people won't realize it. Like, really, it has its
maybe. I don't know. The pashtus is that it's for the person you have in mind. In fact, the poskim even say one person can't say Kaddish for two people. except if it's both of, he's in a veil service, both of his parents at the same time. Again, there's disagreements, and we don't really know how this works.
I don't know where it comes from, but how do we allow someone to say Kaddish as a first someone? But they seem to be raising Kaddish.
Yeah.
To say Kaddish on behalf of someone who needs someone to say Kaddish for them.
So many poskim say that you should, and not, there are different disagreements, but many poskim say that it only works for one person at a time. Take a look at the different sofer and he cites it. I don't know how this works. I can't tell you. I can tell you what's written. How this works and the like, but somehow or another you can, you know.
And you have to be saying Kaddish already in order for that to work. Like that's your
no.
That's your, all your parents are alive. You got to say Kaddish.
That's a different question. So generally speaking, like someone whose parents are alive doesn't say Kaddish, because al tiftach pelasatan or something like that. If they're mochel, then it's fine. That's what you saw in this halacha, for example. In our siman, it says that if there's no one say Kaddish at the end of the day, so someone who has no parents says Kaddish for Kol Meisei Yisrael. Discussion which Kaddish is they're supposed to say, the one after Aleinu or the one after the Yom. But because it had to be the son. The Iker Yisod, whatever this means, is that when a person leaves over a legacy in this world that's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Birabim, so somehow or another that's an aliyah to this neshama. And therefore, when it turned out that this Gefer Lecha Rasha left over someone in the world who was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, so some that saved him, Medino Shel Gehenim. And that's why, primarily, it's said with respect to a child, because there's someone in the world who's being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Fine. So what about this idea of everybody saying Kaddish at once? So the Siddur Yaivitz writes, Binyan mi hakodem lamiras Kaddish umi dochel mi lo etapelkan te minhaga be'almahu uma. So anyway, I'm not going to tell you the halachos here because this is just an inyan of minhag. But he writes, uma tov yashar minhag asfardim b'zeh. Oh, the Sfardim got it right. She'im rabim hema kulam zochen bo. If there are a lot of people that need to say Kaddish, they're all zochen it. V'omim oso ke'achad uvetela machlokas v'torech dinim b'davar she'in lo shor shveker. Baruch Hashem, they solved the problem because now you don't have to start making all these pilpulim in something that has no shor shveker. So it still comes up to a smaller degree in terms of who gets the amud. Nowadays, we still have to figure out Dinei Kedima, but it's less difficult because there's multiple tefillos, and you could split up shacharis, and okay, sometimes that is an issue also, but it's much easier than figuring out the kaddishim. So,
why do you assume it's better to divide it up rather than to follow the kedimos which are listed and give the?
Well, even the kedimos we divide it up, meaning to say, in terms of the Dinei Kaddish.
But in terms of the reading for the
same thing. So if we have four things, let's say we have four. Shacharis is two, Mincha and Maariv. We could talk about the acceptability of splitting up Shacharis in a couple minutes, because and whether the Kaddish Deskabel is an issue or not. But Lamaisa already in Shulchan Aruch you see that practice brought. So okay, so if you have four Velim initial, so each of them gets one of the four things. What about if you have five? So then you have to figure it out. Or again, there are the Dinei Kedima are complex.
We saw in the Ramah, he writes, I think it was the Ramah or the Machaber, but one of them writes that you always go up with the Velim, you always
have okay, but that's if there's only one. If there's two things, you may as well split it.
Why would you assume not to just give it to the first one as a precious Velim?
Because you could split it, you could both get it. Why would you give it all to one person when you can?
He didn't mention to split it. It sounds like he's saying one too.
I think that's what we do.
That's what we do. I'm just curious.
That makes a lot more sense. Why would you?
Sure, it makes sense. But like you read the Ramah, it sounds like that perhaps you should just go ahead.
Maybe the Ramah is only talking about a case where when there's only one left or whatever. That's the only choice. But if you could split it, you split it. So what does the Yaivitz mean when he says that the Sfardim do it right? So it's very good that we're learning this in a Sephardi shul, not just a Sephardi shul, but a Moroccan shul, because at least the first source that I found for this practice is from the Sefer Hilchos Ketanos, which was written by Rav Yaakov Chagiz, who was born in Fez in the year 1620. Anyway, Rav Yaakov Chagiz was asked this question, Lifamim omrim gimel v'dalet kadesh b'yachad, b'yachad makdim l'chaveiro, ketzad yan acharem. So it was already the minhag that many people said kadesh, where he lived in Morocco and later in Constantinople. Rav Chagiz was very famous, among other things, for his staunch opposition to Shabtai Tzvi. Anyway, so what do we do? Right? So he was taking for granted that four people were saying Kaddish at once, and this is a Shaila that often happens, which is that they're not saying Kaddish simultaneously. So what should you do? So he answers, Tshuva, Imban kol acha toch kedei dibor shel chaveiro yana im harishon biyala lekulam. Okay, if they're all within toch kedei dibor, you answer to the first and it works. Oh, or Yamten ad ha'acharon, wait till the last. Im yesh hefsik b'neim, nirish yana achar kol achas v'achas. So, okay. And according to the Hilchos Ketanos, you could say five different yesh me'rabas if they're spread out so far from each other. And that's what he says you should do. And this is actually quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva over here. I think Sifkat and Vav. He quotes this Hilchos Ketanos. Pesachei Tshuva is unbelievable what he quotes. Since you guys are, some of you are new to learning Shulchan Aruch, it's overwhelming to see how much Pesachei Tshuva knew and how much he quotes. So I think I told Chaim this. How old do you think the Pesachei Tshuva was when he wrote his Sefer? At least the first edition on Gimel Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. He didn't write an Or Chaim because there's already the Shari Tshuva. Anyone want to guess?
21.
22. Unbelievable, right? I don't think if you read everything straight from the age of, forget, like remembering it, you would be able to do that by 22. Anyhow, there are those, however, some, by the way, disagree in terms of with the Hilchos Ketanos what you should do. They say you should answer the first. You should answer. That's what the Birkei Yosef says. You should answer the first one immediately. And others say you should answer the last, the Eshel Avram Buchach, and then have in mind all of them. But anyway, some poskim disagree with this psak, with this minhag, of everybody saying a bunch of kaddishes. Among them, and agav, even if you're going to do it, I think shuls who have the practice of all the Abelim sort of congregating in the center and saying kaddish next to each other so as to, at least to the extent possible, keep everybody together, that's obviously a much better way to do things, because that way you won't have a situation where people are at very different paces and making it very confusing for the tzibur to know what to do. Another problem is that sometimes if you have it all split up, you don't even always have 10 people answering Kaddish to one person. There's one quiet guy in the back corner. So the three people around him here. So you doesn't have a minion. Starvish we do. So the halacha is you need a minion to say Kaddish. Schechter says that if that happens, you shouldn't answer. Because if there's no minion who hear this guy saying Kaddish, then you can't even answer to it. So
then there's only a bystander syndrome. 10 people will hear, and each one will think that there aren't 10 people.
So the solution is to the extent possible, have everybody say it at the same time. And again, one good way to do it, if you get away with this, is to have everybody go to the center of the show and say it together. So we'll talk about that in a minute.
Like,
so the Chazon Ish, as I said, opposes this minhag, as does Rav Schechter. And he thinks only one person should say Kaddish at once. Why? So it's different, posts can say it different ways, but the most common way, reason for objecting is this is like two Chazaras Hashatzes at the same time. There's two Shaliach Tzibors. There's supposed to be one person leading the congregation, not multiple people leading the congregation. Imagine if you had, two shaluchei tzibur. I was once in a shul, and there was a chazan who was draying on for a long time, singing as chazanus. But he was like, he's probably a chazan 35 years ago. But so half the shul started yelling at him, speed up, and the other half of the shul was like, he's so good, he's so wonderful. The whole time they were fighting. Finally, after Kedusha was finished, after he finished Hakela Kadosh, he kept on praying. So somebody claps, Kanta Shabbos, we see that. So he took over and he started flying. The halacha is, if the Shaliach Tzibur is incapable after the first three brachos of continuing, somebody else can take over for him if they were following. Then the first guy also started speeding through. He didn't want to. So he had two simultaneous. And it was especially confusing because it was an Eretz Yisrael, so there was Birkas Kohen in. Nobody knew what to do.
So sad.
Yeah. Anyway, so just like it's obvious that that's inappropriate to have two simultaneous Shluchei Tzibur saying Chazayis HaShatz at the same time. So if you think about it, that's what's going on over here also. Instead of two, you have 10. Okay. So, is there any yishuv to what people do? So the answer is l'chora, that this is not exactly like Chazar Sashatz. For example, we find, we'll talk about it, that Ketanim could say these Kadeshim, the Kadosh Yasom. I'll talk about Nashim could say them perhaps. And there's no kapeda that the Shaliach Tzibur Dafka say it. And that being the case, so perhaps if that's true, so there's no din here that the Shatz is motzi everybody. Right? If so, that's a din that does apply to Kaddish, but dafka for the Shiva Kadeshim, which are the important ones. So these sort of supplemental Kadeshim, which aren't strictly speaking necessary, so Machlok is supposed to exactly how you count the Shiva Kadeshim that are necessary, Poskim in other ways treat them a little more kal. Comes up in our show over here, whether you have to stand up for them or not. It's not as important to stand up for the supplemental Kadeshim. There are other nafkaminas, perhaps.
I'm sorry?
The Sephardim don't stand up for them anyway, even for the Shiva. That's correct. Question is, what about Ashkenazim and the Sephardi Shul? Things like that. But maybe they should sit for all of them, because of Minhag HaMakom. I'm not getting into that now. I'm just saying that it might make a difference in terms of how we stand. Anyway, one way or the other, that is, that I think is the basis for the Minhag of being Mako, is that we don't treat Kaddish in the same way. It's not a chova, and the Shaliach Tzibur isn't motzi everyone in the same way that is the case for, let's say, something like Chazar Sashatz and the like. And that's why everybody agrees to that to some degree, which is why, let's say, a Katan could say Kaddish and lead the Tzibur, even though the Katan is not yet fit to be a Shaliach Tzibur, or a woman or the like. Fine. Once we're on the topic, what about women saying Kaddish? Oh, so what will do we actually, just before we get there, we mentioned before that the custom is to split up Shacharis with someone else taking over for Ashrei and Uva Letzion, and that practice is already cited in the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, who says Kaddish at that point? So there are some that are makpid that whoever did Chazar Sashat has to say the Kabel Kaddish Tiskabel after Uva Letzion, because that's going back on Shmon Esrei. Tiskabel Tzalosim Vuson L'chol Beis Yisrael, talking about the Shmon Esrei. He was the Chazan then. I was once at a different shul in Israel, and there was somebody who was the chazan, and he said, I have to leave early. He had to leave after Kriyas HaTorah. And they started yelling at him, how could you leave? You have to say Kaddish to Skabel. You can't leave. Anyway. So that is that is what some have the practice. The Rav was makbid about that. When the Rav, Shachter quotes that when the Rav was older, and at one point when he was an Avel, he didn't have the koach to sometimes to lead the whole time. So he would just lead for Ashrei Nevelitzion, but he would be makbid that the chazan, whoever was the chazan, would go back to say Kaddish to Skabel for him. So it's an interesting question. It's because probably he felt it was valuable because he leads Kiddusha to Sidra. Anyway, but the Aruch HaShulchan says there's no kpeda on this point, and what the Velt does, which is that it's okay for someone else to say Kaddish to Skabel, even though he was not leading until that point. There's a big discussion over here. The Taz discusses it in Sifkat and Dalet. Does an Onain say Kaddish on Shabbos? What do I mean? This is actually a very common question. Let's say somebody dies on Friday. The Kvura is going to be on Sunday. So he's an Onain on Friday, so he can't daven at all, certainly. But what about, does he say Kaddish on Shabbos? So the Taz, Sifkat and Dalet, says that you should, or Mason Yantif, Yeshel Kovro, he says you should say Kaddish. And the reason is because why not, right? Since he's not an Onain on Shabbos, he's davening, so why shouldn't he say Kaddish for the Nifter? It's not Be'etzem that saying Kaddish only begins with Avelos, it's just for the technical reason that you're not davening anyway, so obviously you're not going to say Kaddish. Whereas the Shach in the Nekudas HaKasef over here disagrees. He says, no, the idea of Kaddish is that you're Podes Aviv Megehenim, and the mace is not yet in Gehenim, because he doesn't go up to Shemaim until Stimas HaGolal, and therefore you shouldn't say Kaddish. In terms of what the Minhag HaOlam is, it really, I don't know if there's a clear Minhag HaOlam. If you look at Pesachei Teshuvah and Simen Shemim Al Sukkot Yadalet, quotes a different achronim that say different things. The Chachmas Adam says the minhag is like the Taz. The Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag is like the Shach. The Prima Gadim says it doesn't make so much of a difference nowadays anyway, because you're not taking Kaddish away from someone else. So it's not a big deal to say Kaddish. It sort of like can't hurt.
I'll be the Shach, Svara. Mm-hmm. We learned in Sugya of the 10 people coming to the thing that really the body doesn't go up to Shemai until after the Shiva.
So it goes slowly. Not the body. The body usually doesn't go up to Shemayim. But you're correct that there's a long process of separation between the body and the soul. So with Kvura, with Dima Sagolo, there's some level of finality. Until that point, the body's hovering around, the soul is hovering around the body. And then the Yerushalmi says for the first 3 days it's flying up and down, and after 3 days when it sees the body starting to decompose, then it separates a little further. I don't know what any of this really means.
Okay, but it goes between the kuf.
Yeah. So the Rishonim, but already the Yerushalmi, Chazal talk about how there are many, there are several stages, and this is a very painful process. The idea that the Rishonim actually explain this idea. There's a Tshuva of the Rashba, a Talmud of the Rashba that explains this idea. That the Yesod is, sometimes we think that when person dies, so like everything is pashut, right? But it's not true, because if a person, when they're alive, is focused on Olam Hazeh, so then the neshama and the guf are to a certain degree integrated, and it's not easy for the neshama to just separate from the guf and its association to Olam Hazeh instantaneously. So for someone who was Osek in Ruchnius, even in Olam Hazeh, so then that separation is very smooth, because it was never Shaku and Gashmius. For someone whose focus entirely was Olam Hazeh, so then that process of separation is one that's very difficult. And that's why someone who had no stira, Ramban talks about how someone, there is no stira at all between their guf and neshama, like Eliyahu, so then their guf could even, doesn't need to even separate from their neshama when they die. So, again, the...
That would imply the opposite of the Ramban.
No.
The Ramban would imply that you're so attached to the body that you can't leave it. So, I mean, the more spiritual you are, the more
difficult. No, because there's no stira. In other words, when there's no stira between a guf and a neshama, so then it can exist even immediately like it does in Olam Haba, with the guf and the neshama together. Whereas for almost everybody else, Ramban lists four madregos over there, but for everyone besides that fourth madrega, so because of their connection to Olam Hazeh to some degree, there needs to be some form of tikkun. The tikkun is the body is through burial, and then the tikkun in the neshama is in the Olam HaNeshamos, whether it's through Gehenim and Gan Eden and the like, till they, after the tikkun of the neshamos and after the tikkun of the Olam, so then they could be restored with Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba. Now, the idea is that for someone that was Shaku and Gashmiya, so that process of separation is very difficult and very painful for the soul. And the soul does not easily separate from the guf. There, an example of this, you see, first of all, in the Gemara Brachos about those people who had the dreams and the neshama, you know, was the neshama that was stuck in the thorns. You see it even from the Pesukim and Navi that talk about how Hashem asks Nivas, who is going to, who wants to mess up Achav. And he says, I want to do it. And he goes ahead and he's the spirit of false prophecy that leads to Achav's Achav's demise. So you see that even the neshama after Misa wants to get revenge. That was a chisaron to some degree. Anyway, this is an interesting topic, but I think beyond the scope of today's shiur. So women saying Kaddish. So this is a question that has become very very much discussed recently. It's very interesting. I don't get around necessarily, but I remember as a kid never seeing women say Kaddish. And now it's, at least in more modern Orthodox shuls, it's quite common. But it's not a modern invention. It's something that has a old history, but not a clear one. And the first, I think, to talk about it is a Chavos Yair. He's quoted also here in the Pesachei Tshuva. And the Chavos Yair says, really, there's no reason why she shouldn't. He says, Mikol Mokom Yeshvar Degam Bebas Yesh To'alas V'Nachas Ruach L'Nefesh Kimo Kizarohi. Just like if a son says Kaddish, and that's a To'alas for the Neshama, so too, if the daughter says Kaddish, that too is a To'alas for the Neshama. And therefore, in the case where there are no sons, then seemingly it would make sense for the daughter to say Kaddish. However, practically speaking, he objects. And he says the following reason. He says that there's a concern, ki yachlashu koach haminhagim. What does he mean to say? That this is something that nobody ever heard of, and it's not common. And if people will go ahead and start doing weird things, so the idea of Minhag Yisrael and following the Minhag Yisrael will be undermined. And therefore, it should not be allowed. And he concludes, V'lachein benidon zeh sheyesh asifa upirsum yesh limcho. Since this is a public thing, everybody's going to notice it. It's going to lead to a deterioration of the respect for Minhag Yisrael. And therefore, though in theory it makes a lot of sense, in practice, he concludes it should not be done. Nevertheless, even though the Chavos Yair says it shouldn't be done, it is quite clear that this was, in some communities, commonly done. The Tshuva Me'ava, for example, writes that he saw a wonderful minhag in the city of Prague, that Shehayu Yoshvim Zekenim Be'ezras Beis HaKnesses Ve'omrim Tehillim, Hayubos lefnem yelados banos chamesh v'sheish she nisyasmu mehorehen, shelohaya lahem vanim, v'amru lufneim kaddish. And he says that that's a fine thing. She shouldn't do it during davening. There are different issues that arise during davening, among them because if she's in the Ezra's Nashim, it's a separate rishus, and there are other complications. But, you know, in the olden days, they used to have the show where the people would just, the old men would say Tillim all day. So the women who would want to say Kaddish, the Yesomos, the 5-year-old girls, would come before them and say Kaddish. But it sounds like from that tshuva that he would have opposed them saying it in shul. Not so clear. There are those who oppose it on more fundamental grounds. The Sefer Hasidim says Ein Labas Bekadesh Lo Din Velo Das. It's a shtus. The Beis Meir says that also it shouldn't be done. But others, the Gesher Chaim, who's one of the classical Svarim on Hilchos Avelos, writes that she's a Ketana, Yesh Mekomos Harbe Shemar Shem Lomar, Kaddish Beveis HaKnesses. Rev Henkin famously writes that that was the practice in Europe. Rav Moshe writes that it's actually a different shuv. He's talking about Melchitza over there, but he says he's clearing how many women would require Melchitza. So he says he's not sure. He thinks one or two is okay, but three is aser. And he says that that's what we find in the minhag, that women come to the back of the shul, one or two, to collect staka or to say Kaddish. So there are those that support it. There are those that oppose it. The Mat Ephraim has a whole dion in terms of Kol Be'isha Erva. He opposes it because of that reason. Chalila la Hashmiya Kolo Bein Bevesa Knesses Bein Beminyan Bevesa. Others, as I said, are Mechaleg the Mat Ephraim. Others are Mechaleg between in shul and out of shul. And as I said, Rav Henkin reports that that since a woman is mitzuvah al kiddush Hashem, so im hitamod b'tznius be'ezras hanashim be'ez amiras hakadosh be'ez haknesses yituchal lomar kadosh b'fnei hanashim uvezeh ein k'peida shel tznius. Again, others disagree.
Who was that?
That's Rav Henkin. Eliyahu Henkin, Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who was one of the most important poskim in America in the 20th century. So, as I said, there are different practices. I think some poskim, Rav Shechter, for example, says that it might depend on how the mechitza is built. If it's a mechitza built of mechitzas kvuos that are actually attached to the ground, and the like, so then it's a separate rishos and it would be problematic. If, on the other hand, it's mechitzos metaltalos, so then there is no issue with tziruf lasara, and then it would be okay. I think earlier this year, verify the story if I'm getting it correctly, but in one of the psychology smicha classes, was anyone there? So there was a woman who taught the class. So you'll tell me if I'm telling the story correctly, who wanted to, the class, I guess, is a mariv afterwards, and she would say Kaddish, and they asked Rav Shechter, and he said it was okay if that's her minhag. So
we ended up not.
Right.
Right.
But in theory, Rav Shechter was okay with that.
For saying
if
it
that's
alone.
The minute. Yeah.
Why
did you do this?
You hadn't asked Rav Shechter.
You heard it in Morgan's right afterwards.
So,
or something. Fine. Not from him.
So.
No, first of all, I didn't want to. No one wanted to have him over there anyway.
Okay. I mean, there is something to, if there's a minion in a base knesset in 5 minutes, to make your own minion 5 minutes earlier, mitzad to helpless tefillah is less preferable. Anyhow, fine. So this is I'm definitely not going to be the one that's machriya here. Yes. But that's what Rav Schefter holds, that if that is one's minhag, one has the right to follow such a minhag.
So what if she has other siblings that were someone else that could say a kaddish? Is that any worse?
I think traditionally, if you look at the way it's quoted, in the places at least that I saw, the minhag was only in the case where there's only daughters, or I guess if the son, for whatever reason, wasn't going to be saying kaddish.
I see your voice just like one.
Yeah, so that's not the minhag that I saw. I don't know if it's usher. And again, especially for better or for worse, the way we say Kaddish anyway, where everybody sort of says Kaddish on their own, and she's just being mitzdaif to that. So it might be a little different.
Would it be okay for her to just say,
yeah, that's what they say. That's what some of the poskim say. That's preferable.
Would you be able to do a kaddish yasam, where you have to do a shabbos like?
No, that's a kaddish yasam. Or a kaddish, that's.
You can do a kaddish yasam outside of tefillah.
No, they do it after Maariv. That's what he's saying. Like, that there'll be a minion for the yard site, or Maariv, wherever it is, in her house, and then she'll say kaddish afterwards.
Okay.
Well, listen, again, it's going to be like anywhere we say Kaddish. Right? We have that issue for men. So it's the same issue. It's the same issue with men. But if she says it quietly, along with the men at the same time, it's just like a man saying it quietly, along with the other men at the same time.
There isn't a problem with her being heard.
Again, we discussed that issue in terms of men. We saw that there are some poskim that object because of Kol Bisha, others don't.
That's say that it's okay, don't say as long as
they I assume that they, Kol Bisha Erva is a very big sugya. They're definitely not for now. Is it limited to singing or is it not limited to singing? What does it apply? Is it a din in tefillah in terms of Kriya Shema or the like? So that assessing the relevance of Kol Bisha Erva would require learning and applying the principles from that sugya. Shechter didn't think that the way we assume halacha l'maisa in terms of Kol Bisha Erva, that this would be a violation of that problem.
I've never been to a shul where you hear the woman saying Kaddish. Or it's like quietly with the woman.
Right. So most shuls, that's the case. Because most shuls anyway have multiple people saying Kaddish each time.
Yeah, but she's mahmed to be quiet so the men don't hear her and like so she won't draw attention
some,
to her.
Yeah. So as I said, that was, I think... Now I've been to, in the last couple of years, been to several shuls where it's now where the women do say Kaddish in an audible way. Though I don't remember, I think that's become more popular as of late.
So it sounds like from the incident with the zakim, that they were sitting there and the
Tshuva Me'ava.
Tshuva Me'ava, but that's what the practice was.
So that's what his practice was. Different people had different practices. I think Rav Schechter says that from his father, that his father grew up in a town that was, I think he said it was a Vizhnitzer town, and the Rav passed away without any sons, and the daughter used to say the Kaddish in the shul. That's what he said. So again, I would assume that there were different minhagim in different cities in Europe in terms of what the practice was. And that would explain why you have different Sfarim quoting what's the minhag in different ways.
I was just going to ask though, so it seems like based on that Shiva Me'avad, you don't really need, I mean, there's a big discussion, but it sounds like you don't really need to have any particular event taking place before. It sounds like it's a Kaddish out of the blue. Like it happened to be
the I don't know, maybe I assume it was a Kaddish Derabbanan and Talmud Torah.
This thing Kaddish Yatam.
I don't know. I don't remember if he says. I was assuming it was a Kaddish Derabbanan on Talmud Torah. That was my guess. A Kaddish that a Yasam said, but it was that's my guess. I don't know. Okay, fine. Let's go through quickly. A lot more to do.
Were they saying it together in these yellow
dots? I don't know. If there were multiple, maybe they would. I don't know. Maybe they were saying it said. I don't think they Dafka said it together. Okay. There's all discussion over here whether an Avel should daven on Shabbos. According to most poskim, there's really no reason why they shouldn't. They shouldn't impose it, but there's no reason why they shouldn't if they're the ones that have the best voice. But there does seem to be a common practice not to. Not so clear why. Some of the Sfarim say because the tefillah of an Avel before the Avod reminds the tzibor of sadness. And it is Gorim Tsar, and therefore it's inappropriate on Shabbos and Yantif. But it's also paskened in the Shulchan Aruch that, especially in Yom Noraim, if they're the ones with the best voice, they're the people that the Tzibor want, so that they indeed should daven on Shabbos and Yantif. The idea of saying Kaddish and that Bram Mezake Abba is a very interesting idea. It comes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalad, Mipnei Ma Lo Manu Es Imon, Mipnei Kavod Shel Yoshiyahu, and then it says Menashe Nami Lo Nimni, Mipnei Kvodo Shel Chizkiya, Bra Mezake Abba, Abba Lo Mezake Bra, Dechsiv, Ve'en Miyadi Matziol, Ein Avram Matziol Shishmal, Ein Yitzchak Matziol Esav. But what does that mean? Rashi says Yoshiya Mezake Amon Aviv, Ve'lo Chizkiya Menashe Beno. So, and there are different manifestations of this. This might be, like I said before, the idea that a son or a child should say for their parents, Toch Yud Beis Chodesh Hareini Kapars Mishkavo. Rashi explains that means, upon me should come their suffering, meaning to say the suffering that they would otherwise get in Gehenim, so I should get. Which is, again, a very fascinating idea, if it actually works. The Mesil Sesharim talks about it. He says that, really, it shouldn't be that a ben could be moil for his father. And I, Chazal, say it. It's achas me darke chesed l'kabel asamuad kemiruba avol b'mida sadin en yochol hoil klum. And if you look in the Rishonim already, they discuss this a lot. There's an interesting tshuva from the Rashba, Chela Kesim, and Memtes, who was asked about this question. And the question, Shoel said, how could it be? Says, Misha Heichen Be'er Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. And the Rashba responded, Amnam Misha Oset Stako Tfila Be'ad Misha Kfar Meis Mo'il Ameis. Quotes the Gemara, different Gemaras. V'zeh Masha Nagu Yisrael B'Tstakos to give Tstaka V'Nechus Nefesh U'Masha Amru Mishtach Be'er Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. That means that a person, when after they're dead, they can't do mitzvos. But if they left over a legacy in this world, so that can affect them. And the Rishonim also asked the question that the Gemara over here says that a father can't do it for a son. And but David HaMelech was Mala Avshalom when he said Avshalom b'ni 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 Avshalom Avshalom b'ni. He brought him from the seven levels of Gehenim and into Gan Eden. And there's a lot of discussion in this. If you want, there's a nice piece. We won't have time to go through it. In page Shin Pei Dalad, in the Sefer Tivrei Sofrim, who discusses it. But I think we have to go on. So why don't we say Tachlin in the base Avel? So the answer is that or Kaddish Tiskabel. We say Kaddish, but we don't say Tiskabels because Midas Adin is Metucha. And the like, take a look in Or Chaim that talks about it. But let's move on quickly to Simon Shin Ayin Ches, Sudas Havra. So the din of Havra is that it's aser for the Avel to eat Mishalo. The Gemara derives that from Sukkim in Yechezkel, that the Avel may not use his own food during the first meal. And in addition to that, there is another aspect, the Or Zeruah and others quoted by the Beis Yosef, that says that it's not just if he's going to eat, then he has to eat from other people. There have, people have to bring him a meal. But the Or Zeruah says, "Eminichem es ha'avel es anus b'yom rishon." Why? So Rabbeinu Yerucham explains, very simple, because the hatam, this is from Rabbeinu Yerucham, ki ha'avel doeg v'nenach ha'meiso v'eino choshish lechol ki ritzono lamos hu gamkein v'alkein sivahu lechol mishel acherim. So what's the idea? The idea is that this avel is depressed. He might not feel any will to live. He might not be in the mood to eat. And therefore, it's the tzibur's responsibility to care for him and to provide him for meals, and not just give him the food, but to insist that he eat and make sure that he takes care of himself, that he doesn't get sick, and the like. Now, the Beis Yosef also quoted that the Riva held that you're allowed to fast, and this is based off of the Yerushalmi. If the Riva apparently did not want to take anything from other people, he never wanted to be reliant on others, and therefore he didn't eat at all. And he maintained, this is a machlokes, the Beis Yosef quotes, but he maintained that as long as once the first meal passes, that the Isser Lechol Mishalo no longer applies, and therefore once the first meal's passed, so then the Isser ends, and the next day he could eat his own food. Now, the question is, what about this idea of Rabbeinu Yerucham? In other words, Rabbeinu Yerucham, who says that we force the Avel to eat, isn't that against Yerushalmi that says it's mutter to fast? So maybe the pshat is that that it depends why the person's fasting. If the person is fasting because he doesn't have the will to live, so then we would insist that he eat. If the person is fasting because he doesn't want to be nana misuda sheno shalo or something like that, but he's not, he's going to take care of himself, so then we do allow him to fast. Halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that it's mutter to fast. And if an avel does wish to skip the Sudas Havra, he may do so. He just may not eat his own food. There's machlokas rishonim. Is it dafka the Suda Rishona or the whole first day? The Shulchan Aruch paskens lahakel, like the Rush, that it only is for the Suda Rishona. But if you take a look at the Gra, sounds like he paskens like the Machmirim, that it's the whole first day. Rivki Veger also sounds like that.
But how do you know maybe the first meal is after he finishes fasting on the first day? Meaning?
You have two separate questions. One question is the Isser Lechol Mishalo, that din, is that the first day? Or the first meal, because the Gemara literally
sounds like
it's the first day, right? The Gemara says it's first day. The Beis Yosef says those who say it's the first meal point to other Gemaras, as the Gemara Pesachim, which sounds like even though there talks it says first day, but clearly means the first meal. That's talking about mixing matzah with oil and stuff like that. It says first day. It means the Lel Seder. It doesn't mean the first. It means the first meal. So here too, it means the first day. So again, Shulchan Aruch paskens lahakel on this shayla, but it sounds like the Gra paskins lahachmir on this shayla. Paskins lahachmir on the shayla. It's the whole first day, not just the first meal.
And when is the chav?
So that's another question that the Beis Yosef deals with, exactly. In other words, and that might be the opposite question, right? Maybe if you thought this first day, then it won't, or maybe you'll afterwards. Yep. Take a look at the Beis Yosef, who addresses those questions. Now, One interesting question that the poskim discuss a little bit is, to what extent, what is the scope of this iser? Let's say, for example, an avel comes home, and the community, it's a beautiful community, a wonderful community, that he comes home and he sees mamish, a big giant deli platter, and bread, and everything like that, all ready for him to eat. But there's no mustard. So, could he go to the fridge and take a little mustard? One second, it says, Aser lachol mishalo. So you have to eat the deli without mustard. He likes deli with mustard. Or what about a drink? He comes home, and he's mamish, so thirsty. And the community, it's a beautiful community, they bring him a whole luxurious meal. But he wants, even wine, right? But he just wants a drink of water. Is he allowed to drink of orange juice? Is he allowed to go ahead and... So what's the halach in that case? What's the halach in that case? So, the Aruch HaShulchan is makel on this shayla. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's dafka the suda, certainly maybe lachem, or the suda that's aser, but it's not talking about if you want to have a glass of water, if you want to take a little mustard for your deli sandwich, that's certainly okay. Others, the Shevet Yehuda, Machmir, the Badei HaShulchan, Taka Paskin's Lahachmir, even a drink you shouldn't do, which could leave the avel very thirsty. I don't know. I think there's a little room for leniency. As Linan Basar Tam, like the Taz points out, the Taz discusses a terrible situation where the community didn't provide a meal. For this guy, Nebuch lives all alone. There's no one to give him a meal. So do you have to fast till the next day? So the Taz says, no, of course not. You're allowed to eat. So, you know, if they forget, if the community didn't drop off drinks, then I don't know, it seems to me that, and you're very thirsty, like the Taz says, you're not chayev letzai or satzmo. What's the whole reason in the first place that the avel should be... So there's actually two reasons. We'll talk about that in 1 minute, actually.
According to Rabbi Yerucham, like, lachar, you would say, like, the Aruch HaShulchan, because, like...
Yes. So, Rav Moshe has the following shayla, and Toch Kedei, his answering the question, actually deals with the nature of this din. Shoel asked, we already saw in the Beis Yosef that many had the practice of continuing to give food not just for the first day, but throughout the Shiva, and this is, in fact, the practice in many, many communities, that they continue to, the community continues to provide food. The Avelim shouldn't have to worry about, you know, they have enough on their mind, they shouldn't have to think about food, and the community steps up to the plate and provides oftentimes three times as much food as they actually would need. So somebody asked for Moshe the following shayla. The Shoel said, this should be usher for two reasons. Number one, Sheila Shalom, we know that generally speaking, you're not allowed to give Avelim gifts. We'll talk more about that when we get to that sugya. But even Shalach Manos and the like, you shouldn't. And here they're giving them gift baskets, right? The same gift basket with the chves, a bottle of wine and chocolates, let's imagine, right? So after Avelos, we would say it's Aser. So how could it be Mutter during the Shiva? So the Shoel said it should be Aser. And then he also thought, the Shoel thought it should be Aser, because of Chukas Akum. Apparently, Gayim also do this. They give food baskets, gift baskets. So the Shoel said it should be Aser for both of those reasons. So Moshe says, he's not so sure it's the... But he thinks it's Mutter. Why? Says that this, even if it's the same basket of food, Kilo, but during the Shiva, it's totally Mutter. Why? Because giving the gifts is me'inyan tanchumin, below inyan shel she'ela shalom v'simcha. And Adarabi said, look, the Nemuke Yosef even said it's aser to give them on Shabbos because of Avelos b'farhesia. In other words, it's from the Nihuge Avelos. And he says, even though the Beis Yosef is makel because it's not farhesia, because sometimes people give over gift baskets, even not during Avelos, so it's not. But you see that it's Nihuge Avelos. It's Minyan Tanchumin. In other words, and therefore, since since it is because of that, then it definitely does not fall into the category of Shela Shalom. It might be the same basket of food, but the context is what's going to determine whether it's Aser Bechlal Shela Shalom or not. And he says in terms of it should be Aser Al Tzachukos Akum, so he says, no, there's no Inyan Shel Pritzos, right? The Ramah says that that Chukos Akum is Aser if it's Shaychos L'chukei Emunasam, or Dasam. Well, here it's not. We know why we bring it. It's Chesed. And there's no Pritzos here. And therefore, he says, based off of the Ramah, it's Minkufay and Chesed would be Mutter. Rav Shechter is a piece in Ginas Ego, Simen Chavav, where he declares if Sudas Havra is Medine Avelos, or Medine Tanchume Avelim. In other words, is the Isser that the Avel shouldn't be Ochal Mishalo, which is one way that's formulated, or no, it's an Inyan on the Tzibor to take care of the Avelim, to be Menachim them, and part of the mitzvah Nicham Avelim is not just visiting and schmoozing, but giving them food and taking care of their needs, and the like. And as we saw, the truth is that the Makoros would support both of these ideas. Maybe you have a shtickle raya. I don't remember if Shechter brings this, but from the Ramah says that in terms of the machlokes shown him how long it lasts. Is it just the first meal or the first day? So the Ramah quote Paskin's Lahakel because of halach kedivrei meikel be'avel. I don't know if we would apply that rule to a machlokes in terms of nicham avelim. That's a halacha on nihugi avelos. This might relate to the discussion of Shabbos and Yantif and the like. Fine.
Does that mean you can lean in both directions? Like you can choose which time?
I don't know. I don't remember Schefter's conclusion. I wanted to look it up today, but there's no Guinness Echoes here. In terms of the question you asked, what about when there wasn't enough time to be Mavra on the day that it was Nikbar? So what about the night? What about the day that follows? Take a look at Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkan Beis on the Note of Yehuda, Ayin Sham. The Shulchan Aruch also quotes the Inyan of fasting biyom for Mises Chachamim. The Beis Hillel already points out that he has not seen people observe this minhag. People don't seem to follow it anymore. Though the Badei Shulchan says that at least you should do it for Rabu Mofak when they die in the yard site. A very important halacha that comes up in this siman is to say Shmua v'agada b'veis avel. So the Gemara says in Moed Katan that we don't. So it's a machlokas tanaim, but we pass on like the opinion that ain't omrim Shmua v'agada b'veis avel. So the question is, why do we need this halacha? Anyway, it's aser because an avel is aser b'divrei Torah, b'talmud Torah, because of simcha. We'll get to that halacha soon. So why do you need a separate halacha to say ain't omrim Shmua v'agada b'veis avel? So the Beis Yosef in Simon Shim Mem Dalet quotes two reasons from the Ramban. Number one is the Chiddush is by Shabbos, there's no Avelos in Shabbos, and the Chiddush is that still ain't Omrim Shmua V'Agada V'Veis Avel. Second reason is, it's going back on the earlier statement in that Vraisa that says Chacham Shemeis Beis Midrasho Bato, and it's saying, and we don't even say Shmua V'Agada. Now the Shulchan Aruch, though, doesn't seem to hold of either of those reasons, because he paskins it over here. And he doesn't say this is a, you know, applies on Shabbos. It has nothing to do with the discussion of Beis Midrasho Batal. It seems like the Chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is that the Chiddush here is because beyond the Isser on the Avelim to learn Torah, there's a din in the Beis Avel that Ein Omrim Shmua V'Agada Beis Avel, and the Lashon of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam all sound that way. It's a din in the Beis Avel. In other words, this is not just the regular din of Talmud Torah, but it's something that's a din in the Beis Avel. And if you look, that's the location of the Shulchan Aruch. It's talking about the dinim of the Beis Avel, right? Like it says, Marbitzim and Mechabdin, you're allowed to sweep the floors and you're allowed to, but you're not allowed to have Torah. And this Vart was famously developed by the Rav. The Rav had this general idea of Beis Avel, and this is one of the manifestations. The Aruch HaShulchan already notes that that's not the minhag. Yesh letzmoa al minhagenu shekama lomde mishnayis beveis avel. And he has all pilpul to try to be miyashiv it based off of the Ramban that I quoted to you before. It's a din in the base Madrash Batal and the like. But the pshat in the Aruch HaShulchan really does not work for what the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is. Ayin Sham. So I think the psak of the Rav really does make a lot of sense over here. That beyond, obviously there's an Isser Talmud Torah for the Avel, but beyond that, there's a din in the base Avel and the like. Another important point to stress, and the Badi Shulchan points this out, is the Lashon HaMechaber is, you know, we don't say Shemua or Agada, El Yoshvim V'Domimin. So, obviously, it's totally inappropriate to talk about the Meps, meaning to say the base Avel is a time to talk about, to do Nichum Avelim, to talk about the Nifter and the like. And that precludes Talmud Torah, and it certainly precludes other things that are Shalol L'Inyan. So then it might be, you know, you have to figure it out because you do have a mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. But let's say, certainly, you know, talking to the guy sitting next to you at between Mincha and Maariv about the stock market or the like, so that's totally wrong. There are, again, in terms of Mishnayos, there are some svarim that say, well, maybe it's mutter because it's l'ilui nishmas, the niftar, as long as the avel doesn't listen, if you're going to do Mishnayos, it's not so pashat. I think Rabbi Willig does Mishnayos from Pirkei Avos because he says that it's musser. And as we've seen so many sources, achayitin alibo, and to learn, you know, to learn musser, is mutter.
It's the figure of Willig.
You're saying Agada. So there's Agados and there's Agados. You pick Mishnayos that tell us about the Inyanim that we're supposed to think about at a base Avel, like the Hevel Havalim, the shortness of life, the value of life, the lessons that could be derived from the Nifter, things like that. Fine.
Does the Willig say Kaddish?
I don't know. Okay. There's a discussion whether you need a bread at a Suda Sabra because it's called a Suda. Some folks can say yes. Fine. All right. Enough for that. Let's turn to Shinayin Tess. So the Gemara Brachos Daf Mem Vav says that in the base of Avel, you say Hatov Ametiv Kel Emes Dain Emes V'Hulai Hu Yigdor Hapirtsa Zos Me'alenu Me'al Avel Zeh L'chaim L'shalom. So this is paskin by everybody, the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, and of course it's a big tzarchiyon why most people do not observe this. So the Baragola writes that maybe it's because we're choshesh for one opinion, the opinion of Tosfos that says you need 10 people, and generally speaking there aren't 10 people at the base Avel. At the very least, then if that's true, then certainly if there are 10 people, there's no reason not to do it. As I said, most people don't do it, though I think I remember Roshechter and Willig both saying that there's no reason why it shouldn't be done, though they acknowledge it's not the Minhag Olam. I'm not sure, we have to verify that. Then there's another din in Siv Beis to say Nachem, and in Siv Gimel to have a special Zimun. These are a little less problematic that they're omitted, because these dinim are not from Shas. They're obviously very old minhagim, but if you look at how they're quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, they're quoted as a Yeshomim or the like. I think also I saw that they say B'Shem Rav Moshe that he thought at least the first din of Sif Aleph should be said. There's a minhag, the Pesachei Tshuva discusses it, that to give Avelim to lead the Zimun for Yud Beis Chodesh. The Yaivitz writes, Minhag Yafa Litein La'avel Levarech Kol Yud Beis Chodesh U'Minhag Avosenu Torah V'Zechus Hilol L'Sagel Mitzvos U'Maisim Tovim, and the Nefesh is Masala, but you're not formally obligated. Maybe during the Shiva the Avel should lead the Zimun because of the Gadir Pumesa B'Rosh. There's a whole discussion in Sif Hey whether the Avel is Mitzdarif for Zimun, whether it's for 3 or for 10. The Shulchan Aruch says he is Mitzdarif for both. The Mordechai, the Rokeach, quoted by the Shach, says not for the Suda Rishona. Some say There's a difference between 3 where he could be mitzdarif and 10 where he can't be mitzdarif. Some poskim say lemaisa you should avoid having 3 at the first meal. You should have 4 or 2 to stay away from the shayla. But really, the ikar adin is you could be makil for 3, though he should be mitzdarif for 10. Fine. There's a whole very interesting discussion, but we don't have time for it now, a real fascinating philosophical discussion about the lashon of the lokeach nefashos b'mishpat. So that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. So some objected because there's a famous gemach lokas in the Gemara in Shabbos about whether yesh misa b'lo chet, and the Gemara seems to conclude yesh misa b'lo chet. So therefore some said you shouldn't say it, and the Darkei Moshe says, no, it's part of the system. It's true, there's misa b'lo chet, but that's because they're dying mitayu shel nachash. The Rambam in several places in Marne Vulchem and in his letters say, even though the Gemara concludes definitively that we paskin yesh misa b'lo chet, that's absolutely wrong, because how could it be? It's against the pasuk, kelam unave in avel tzadik v'yasharhu, there's no such thing. Though, interestingly enough, he omits lokeach nefashos b'mishpat. Beis Yosef and others talk about it. It's a very fascinating question, but alas, this year's gone on for much too long. So, we're going to invite you tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, and next, the Siman Shin Pei, you'll start today. We get to the real Nihugei Avelos, beginning with the Isser Melacha.